You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Billy Preston, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something. So anyway, glad you could join me again, and want to say that if you want to call in, 524-1080 is the number. Been hearing a lot of you when I see you on the streets. I was going to call in, so feel free to call in. We don't beat up on people and scream and hang up on them. Just that's what this is about. But anyway, I have Calvin Griffin with me this morning, and we're going to be talking about a couple things. Good morning, Calvin.
Oh, thank you for having me on the program.
Yeah. He still look pretty, folks. He's
still a legend in my own mind. You know.
Yeah, so you're doing your show on Olelo. On what days is it aired, and the name of it?
It's on every Monday from 6 to 6:30, and it's called the Hawaii Bulletin Board TV program, so the radio program. And if some of your listeners may remember, I had a long affiliation with the station here. It was very, I think, mutually beneficial anyhow. But on the TV, we're able to get into a few more things, that, especially with the visual portion of it anyhow. But mm-hmm. Those who tune into the program see why I say that I have a face for radio. So.
Well, we won't treat you like a mushroom.
Okay.
We'll let you come out in the light.
Yeah, but anyhow, I appreciate you letting me, you know, sit in with you today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure seeing you there. And anyway, some of you may have seen on TV and read a small blurb in the papers about one issue with Mayor Mufi Hanneman and his involvement in travels to Pittsburgh. Is something that I've been working on for a couple of weeks. But, you know, in this town, everybody knows everybody, and everybody owes somebody. And so you don't want to talk about it until you see the cycle completes itself. You can see caterpillar, and you can know that it's a butterfly, but you have to wait until it develops. So in this case, want to make sure before we spoke. And that was a flyer. And by the way, you can get all of this at carolcox.com. And there's flyers. There's the press release sent out by the mayor's staff of the city, or the mayor. And there's the video posted up on the website. And so I want to make it clear. Some said that, well, you know, at the station it aired, and immediately afterwards, Mr. Hanneman called the station. Now, that's where it gets cloudy from there. Initially, everyone was openly saying that he was complaining about the ad, the article, the news article, and was incensed. And for some strange reason, it disappeared. Now, the original explanation was that he threatened. Then I'm told internally, and obviously couldn't disclose my sources, that they were his public relations firm was being aggressive and talking and trying to influence. But nonetheless, the item was removed from the website, and they attributed later to a technical glitch. But if you, the video maybe being removed or can't work because of a glitch is one thing, but then the written part disappeared too. So thanks to the many of you who expressed concerns, because we complain about activities in the media and the influence on big business on media. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those situations where, well, now everyone is retracting and withdrawing the comments, because it's horrible, a horrible thought to know that a mayor or an entity can call up a news station and influence the news that evening.
Well, that seems to be nowadays, you know, we talked about this several times in the past, anyhow, but one of the things where we say that we have a free press, in actuality, we really don't, you know. Mm-hmm. We have a number of conglomerates who actually run and control the news. If they don't like what you're saying, they have ways of having these technical glitches that come up. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, your message isn't getting out. It's the same thing that we see that's happening with YouTube, some of the information that's put up there by, you know, a lot of citizens is out there, and or other credible sources, and they're being technically slowed down, speed bumps being put in to discourage viewers from actually getting into the story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see that throughout the history of the country, where we do have, Randolph Hearst and, like I say, a lot of the other big names from history. And the American people have a tendency to forget a lot of things. And one of the things, when you go back and you see how the American people have been manipulated in the past, and in this day and age with the computers, you name it, all the technical things that we have, the wizardry anyhow, it's easy, you know, for that to happen, where, you know, a glitch or just a slowdown could change the whole flavor of a story, you know, and discourage people from getting involved.
Well, you know, I took and experienced great pain with this particular article, and that is Ron Mizutani did this article. And if you know Ron Mizutani, he is one of the finest people. Let's start with people or human beings first, and then move to the professional job that he holds. And I don't think there's anybody in town. I've lived in many states and dealt with many media sources. I don't know if I've ever met anyone that can hold a candle to him, of his integrity, of his smarts, of his willingness. And I've known him for a long time now, and these are the rules. Whatever I show him or prepare him and share with him, I'm tasked with making sure that they're factual, number one.
Right.
Number two. Number two is that they're not being done in a mean-spirited way. Always careful not to say foul things about people or being inaccurate or portray them as being bad people.
Right.
In this instance, it is the management who receive the phone calls, and it is the management who can say, pull it, cut it, shut it off, or take Cox out of the story. And then in which they did, once they put it back up, the original story, for a while, it was on the internet for a while, and then the next morning they took it down because they modified the story by extending a courtesy to Bill Brennan and to Mufi Hanneman.
Right.
Because if you remember Mufi Hanneman's, if you recall seeing it, I think that he was shocked and astounded by the representation that he got, the bad representation that he received from his campaign manager,
right,
Dean Okamoto. You talk about a deer in headlights, or someone really didn't know what they were doing.
Yep.
That was the poster child moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy is the manager, and this is a big well-oiled machine now. We got Senator Noy, and we got the big business funding and fueling. He's able to give $100 million to his friends for the rail, and it's well, and still hadn't gone to jail and hadn't been investigated. Maybe there is an investigation, I don't know about it, but most people would go to jail if you're still a popsicle from 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be a double standard. You know, it's one to backtrack on one thing as mentioned as far as the facts are concerned. Your policy and also mine is, if I'm going to publicly address an issue anyhow, I'm going to tell you where I got my information from, you know. And if you have anything that countermands what I say or what I presented, then, again, I always give people the opportunity to come on the program or call up or whatever it is. I've never screened my calls or, you know, or blocked anything at all, and you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as you mentioned, with these well-oiled machines where you have a situation where it's been predetermined, actually, who is going to be selected for what offices. You know, it's very, very selective. If you see the number of races, there might be like about 14 people, I think it was listed, on that special election that was going on. How many actually got in the press on this thing anyhow, you know? And especially over here, this is one big small town, as we talked about on many, many occasions, you know? You can't turn without stepping on somebody's toes in some way. And the last thing they want is an independent voice, someone who's strictly going to deal with the facts and show respect to the American voting and, you know, public, you know, and by presenting the facts. And the thing is, we don't really receive it. You know, you mentioned as far as, like, the butterfly, you know, morphing into something else. The more I get into, I encourage a lot of people to go down to the big square building down there and see what's going on. And of all the years I've been on the air, there's only one time I had to retract something or clean it up where I said it was a dog and pony show down there. I had to get on the air and apologize to anybody who ran a dog and pony show, you know, because the more you get into it down there, you wonder how some of these people actually got into office. You know, you wonder, you know, you see their backgrounds, some of their moral standings or lack thereof. And it's really a disservice to the American people where it's so limited right now, where just because you have enough money, you have enough influence, you have enough, you know, the right connections and, you know, and all this good stuff, that you can be morphed into something else, you know, that in most everybody else's life, either you'd be in jail or shunned by the public because of your actions. And with time and time again, we see this, not only here locally, but, you know, of course, nationally, in our history. And American people definitely have to do their homework, wake up and find out what's going on, find out who your leaders are. Because when you go for a job interview, they're going to go ahead and carefully check you out. We need to do the same thing for people who are representing us.
Yeah, and in this setting, we have now one newspaper.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous.
We have one TV station that bought up three, or one company that bought, and now they're running the same stories. And the other stations are influenced, and they're run by management, the general managers, and they in turn look at the bottom line. Now, maybe I'm expecting too much, but the reason I'm expecting a lot from them is that we've invested trust in them. Some say they're the fourth arm of government. If they are willing to wear that badge of honor, then they need to be honorable. And in this case, now, being specific about, for example, there's a flyer that I came across, and obviously we don't tell our sources,
right,
that was handed to me. And it was saying that Hawaii Mufi is on the symbol with the big, beautiful town, comes to Pittsburgh. Right? Hawaii comes to Pittsburgh. And on that I found that there was a false and fake or bogus FEC number. And there was a phone number. And I called that phone number. And that phone number was answered by Mr. Paul Overby. And Mr. Overby says to me that he is spearheading this fundraiser and put it together and orchestrating it. He'd never met Mufi. This is his representation. Mm-hmm. But the only reason he's doing it is he and Mufi share the same alma mater as Harvard.
Yeah.
Now, you know, $5,000 plate, up to $5,000 from 500. So seeing all of this, I waited. And I did contact the campaign spending commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I received, asked for a complaint form, which I will be filing soon. But I wanted to see if, in fact, I could get Mr. Hanneman to speak publicly to this. Because if you look back historically, they have shielded Mufi Hanneman in a way that I've not seen a parent or a mother shield a child.
Mm-hmm.
They have extended a courtesy to Mufi Hanneman as if the media want us to have him for our Lord, Savior, leader, whatever. And I've never, ever seen such behavior, a pattern within media. They're not just killing stories and turning their head and a blind eye to stories. They're serving this man up, you know. And you can see him at a... He could be walking across the street, and there will be a picture of him in the Advertiser or the Star Bulletin. And they're letting us know how great he is. But it's a funny thing. When I send this information to them, they don't want to do anything about it.
Yep.
And if they do, it's a blurb. So we're threatened, and some ask, well, you know, you have a good relationship with the media. No, I do have a relationship with the media, but I have to remind myself that it is me who see these things and then attempt to give them to them to say that, now you take it further.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it gets washed on many occasions. So I have to let everyone know publicly that, yes, you see me in these news stories.
Mm-hmm.
But many a times I have no control over how they look and what have you. So I'm giving and not getting, so to speak, right?
Yep.
So I owe the public an obligation to say, an explanation to say to them, you know, you see me. I have no control over that. And in this particular case here... They extended and redid the story because in the early part of the day at the 6 o'clock news, Brennan didn't want to comment.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it that he was eager to comment at 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at his comments, it was something to the effect, whether, you know, the mayor teaches us all to do right, be honest, and be good Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that news or is that a rebuttal to the allegations or to the things that were claimed in the original story?
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah. They give you these generic responses anyhow that could mean anything. You know, the way they word it, as you mentioned, you know, it should be in the media, where the way they edit it, the way they, you know, the way they actually shoot, you know, slanted the camera, whatever it is, can color a person's perspective because he can hear something and see something, and it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really work out anyhow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, like, say, well, what's going on? It's been with the... one thing I want to say, as long as I've known you, I've never known you, you deal with things an honest way, you know, when you're dealing with these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you know, it's not being partisan or anything else, but when there's something doesn't look right, they will say it, if it looks, you know, and quacks like a duck, then basically you got a duck on your hands here anyhow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, when you start... You know, they pick and choose. You know, like, say, if it was something that was favorable to the mayor or some of the other people that you had addressed certain issues about, then it's, you know, like, now Cox is on their side. But when you start beating up on them, but, you know, bringing out certain facts that's not favorable, then, of course, they want to start bringing out the clubs and doing everything they can to get you out of the picture or discredit you, you know?
Yeah. Cripple the messenger. But you know, for me, I recognize that, and there is a bigger motivation here for me, and so when I deal with these and I go to the media, and some say, well, why don't you get paid for it? Well, first of all, it's not an interest in getting paid. It's a matter of lending my expertise to help build the public's welfare, help enhance it. And so when you hand it off to the media, and then the reporters are eager to tell the truth and do the right thing. I have not found one that say, well, we're going to manipulate this. Never. But it is the upper management. it's the bottom line. It's the money. Mm-hmm. And in this town, and as you can see, stations get sold and bought in a funny kind of way. And the next day, this guy was working for the papers, now working for the TV, mm-hmm. even though they didn't have any experience. In a normal world, one would have a greater requirement.
Yeah.
There would be greater prerequisites to have and background. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you drive a train as an engineer don't mean you can hop on a plane mm-hmm. and fly it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's with the media. You know, you run the newsroom at the newspaper, and then all of a sudden you pop up at the news TV station, mm-hmm. right? They're news editors, but do you bring with you the same influences? Do you lend yourself to big money?
Yeah. It's all about integrity, because, you know, again, I'm quite sure people ask you, well, why do you do the things that you do anyhow? Well, same thing.
Because I'm nuts.
Yeah. The question is the same question.
I got an appointment tomorrow with my psychologist. Why do I keep doing it?
I ask myself every once in a while, because, you know, we get the same thing where, for those, you know, who are maybe, you know, more familiar with you, because you do a heck of a lot more than I do out there. But the same thing. It's like, why do you do these things? Why do you address these issues? Well, first off, I'm not happy with some of the so-called media representation I see out there that's not asking the questions. Because how many times you sit in front of a TV or the radio, and, you know, there's these figures out there, again, representing us in whatever way or whatever. And you want to ask them, you know, you're like, why didn't that interviewer or that so-called reporter ask this question? You know, he tapped the answer around everything else. No, let's get to the heart, the crux of what the issue is, mm-hmm. you know. I don't want to be soft soap. I want the facts. I can mm-hmm. handle it. I'm an adult, you know. Mm-hmm. And most people think that the American people can't handle the facts, you know. And a lot of times I have a tendency to believe that, because it seems that when you do... You mentioned something about the messenger, you know, where you mm-hmm. take a message to somebody, and because they can't wrap their head around it, you know, they're, instead of, you know, addressing the message, they're coming after you, because right now you brought something to their attention that they have to address. And when someone doesn't, you know, they know they have to do something and they don't do it, they feel bad about themselves. Mm-hmm. So therefore, what are you going to do? You are going to attack the messenger. And that's what's happening. You know, we wonder why so many things are so obvious, you know, when mm-hmm. we know we're being massaged, we're being smoothed over, you know, with all these different, when they put a story out there, they've already ran it through the mill to see what's palatable to the American mm-hmm. people, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's really ridiculous what's going on. And sometimes, you know, the old saying, you know, you get what you pay for, mm-hmm. and, you know, the government you get is, you know, what you deserve. But a lot of people may deserve it, but I don't think I deserve what we're getting.
Well, you know, again, it's manipulation.
Yep.
And everyone can't. They got to make a living. And mm-hmm. we're a human being. We have our own needs in life. And we know, I personally don't expect every citizen mm-hmm. to get out there and fight a battle and become an activist, because mm-hmm. that's unrealistic. What I believe is that the people that we have invested our trust in mm-hmm. should be more cognizant of being and doing the right thing. So, you know, anyway, this is the Carol Cox Show. I have Calvin Griffin with me, and we're talking, tossing around some news stories and a few issues with media. And if you'd like to call in, 524-1080. But, Calvin, what I'm going to be more specific to this thing with Hanneman. You know, for example, he heard to file after being caught. Mm-hmm. And see, he didn't file. You see, there's a requirement that you have to file mm-hmm. a notice with the campaign spending office
right.
that you're going to have a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I pulled up, you know, when I got my first document and was doing the tracking, mm-hmm. so I look at this and I find that, well, this thing is scheduled in Pittsburgh on the 9th of June.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that he, May 27th, he shows that he's going to have a fundraiser on the website. And then June 7th, he had one. And then nothing between June 7th until June 21.
Mm-hmm.
So he was concealing this. He was hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlawfully. He unlawfully failed to disclose, as is required by the laws of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when caught... Follow this. He decides, I just filed it the other day. No, it has to be filed prior to it occurring, number one. And secondly, if how could you skip? You put everything else and you show Maui. Here he is at Hilton Hawaiian Village June 21st. He showed that he was at, person in charge was Dennis Dwyer on 4-20-10 fundraiser in Washington, D.C. again. So I'm going to be tracking that one in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. to see if he went up there again on a trip. Obviously, he made a lot of trips up there, you see,
yeah.
Commingling. And these are questions that need to be asked. But then he says, I'm not going to take any of the money. In other words, you get caught in the bank with a gun and mask on and a bag full of money and the police catch you and thwart you. Mm-hmm. Then you go, stop. Here, tell it. Take the money back. See? Just, I'll see you later. And thank you. You have a nice day.
Right.
This is the equivalent of that. A crime has been committed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, and the media doesn't challenge him to ask him, what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, it's all in the definition. Because now, right now, you know, a politician can tell an out, you know, can tell an outright lie. And, you know, the interpretation is, well, it's just an overly generous interpretation of the facts, you know.
Right.
And the way, you know, again, the way it's worded and smooth and everything else, we, you know, again, our gut feeling, we all know, that's why a lot of people, a lot of the populace gets frustrated, because we know that, again, we know we can smell a lie. You know, it's just, we're not ignorant out here,
mm-hmm.
you know. We know what's going on, you know. And, again, it gets back to the frustration where people, you know, what do I do about it? I got this information. Again, what do I do about it, you know.
Yeah.
But, as you know, as you're saying, with this, it's like, well, okay, it happened out of state, so therefore it doesn't count.
Right, and out of state, out of mind.
Right.
Not out of sight, out of mind.
Because most of the press over here is not going to pick up on it. It happened in Pittsburgh, so therefore, you know, we're not going to deal with this thing.
He had thought he got away with the perfect crime.
Because
he does it every day. His staff, I filed complaints about his staff, pulling the same tricks, using the same strategies, using things, commingling, misappropriating their time and their equipment and what have you. Got a call from Sherilyn. Hello, good morning, Sherilyn.
Oh, hello, this is Lynn.
Lynn, you got a comment?
Hi, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that the new newspaper, when I haven't ordered it yet, I go up to the stand and buy it, but the front page just has a great big picture of something or other and absolutely no news of interest.
Yep.
I mean, the front page is a waste. And then I look at this tiny little article about Mufi having his fundraiser in Philadelphia, way in the back page, you know, way in the back pages. And this newspaper is not printing what we need to know.
Oh, they should have jumped on this one and dissected it, and they would find that this is a pattern of behavior that would cause most people to be sentenced to jail.
And I'm sorry that Maria Zimmerman and I think it, I forgot the name of the other person, didn't have a chance to get their hands on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So we could get some two sides of the story.
The paper, you mean the...
The Star Bulletin advertiser.
Oh, I got you. I see.
I think they were down for purchasing the paper, and I guess they got another bid, and then they were out the door.
Well, that's what is missing. Somewhere down the line, it would shake out if you had competition.
Right, exactly.
And that, you know, and but our leaders allow this to occur, and so. But again, on the other hand, we had two papers, and it was the same thing. So we exponentially, we just had more of the same. Nothing.
I know. I was comparing it too.
and so. So we had a double dose of nothingness, and so it's...
So maybe the midweek has a little more. What do you think?
I don't know. I think midweek gives good articles, but I think what I'm happy about, it's giving life and rise to the blogging, to the Internet. I mean, because we are electronic now, and so, believe it or not, I think my prediction is at this current pace that the Star advertisers going, they will fail too, because people are craving. We had 6,000 downloads visit to this website on this subject.
I know, and I'm not computerized, so, you know.
But it's getting there, and there are different sources. Radio shows like this, I mean, we've been trained to expect big business to tell us how it's done.
Uh-huh.
And I think if we continue these practices, and you got Eon Lynn, for example, you got the Hawaii Press, and it's giving life to... And Hawaii Reporter and Maya, Carol Cox, and what have you. So, when at the end of the day, it may be the death of the papers if they continue to behave in the fashion that they do.
Absolutely.
So I got some money reserved for flowers to wave goodbye and pick up the internet and keep going. You know.
Right. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much.
That was one of the things you see. You wonder if it's really, you know, really what's going on behind the scenes, because they're killing off the newspapers. They know that, you know, the response of the American people, whether people respond anyhow, that, you know, they're not going to buy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, if you go to TV, all right, got all the major stations, try
mm-hmm.
this. I encourage you, have your friends or your family go to different rooms or, you know, house. Watch the different news stations and come back and ask. I guarantee you that the majority, when you come in, you'll say, okay, well, they talked about that story over here and everything else. There's no real difference in mm-hmm. the news, you know, what's being presented anyhow. You know, there's a mm-hmm. theme, there's something that they're, you know, that's being plugged, and they're going to go ahead and use their sources to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what you're talking about, the, you know, the blogging and the internet and everything else, there's a move afoot right now. Like, say, they have the FCC come in and control the net to mm-hmm. limit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all these different things that's going on. And they know how powerful the net is. I think when Jay Rockefeller, senator from back east, whatever the heck it was, anyhow, well, the famous Rockefeller family, and one of the quotes he said at one time was that, you know, basically, we shouldn't allow the internet to happen in the first place, you know, paraphrasing what he said. But again, I encourage people to check it out.
You know, people call Mufi the Mufter.
Mm-hmm.
I am now assigning him officially the name the Juggler.
Have you got the copyright yet?
I don't know. I mean, this is a, you know, while doing this, he simultaneously is working a matter in the Nanakuli area, the landfill. He had his staff there mm-hmm. using, and just real quick, this is off subject, mm-hmm. but it's relative in that the union, the steel workers union, paid for the bus to haul the people from Nanakuli to come in and go before the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, Patty Tarullo, who is his special events coordinator, was orchestrating this. And, for example, now, as I say, I won't stay focused because it sounds scatterbrained, but it says a lot here. She writes an email, aloha and mahalo for the invitation to the Honolulu opening of Governor Mufi's, for Governor Mufi. You see, aloha and mahalo for the invitation of the Honolulu opening for Governor Mufi. But on Thursday, June 3rd, is a big day for many who reside in Waianae Coast, who will be coming in a bus, parenthesis, paid for by Uncle George Parris. This is the union.
Uh-huh.
And then our city council, see, this is the other side of this, why we can't get a straight story told and can't get a straight, honest day's work from the city council. They lie, they heard this matter before,
mm-hmm.
and then a week later, Ikaika Anderson and Todd Oppo schedule, and they voted for something that had already been voted for. So we have a great democracy. You talk about the square building.
Mm-hmm.
This building over here is oblong, and you look at it 5 minutes later, and it's going to have another shape.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about political and spineless.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having the willingness to go out and hear a matter,
mm-hmm.
vote on it, vote it down, and didn't like the outcome, so they in turn heard it again within 6 days
yeah.
and got the desired vote that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Every single councilman, Ann Kobayashi, was going to be our mayor, lay down on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Tam, lay down on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Aquino, lay down on the job. Donovan De La Cruz, who wants to be the mayor,
mm-hmm.
lay down on the job.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen jellyfish stand up taller and straighter than these people.
Yeah.
And but again now, the article in the newspaper about this
mm-hmm.
mentioned Patty Tarullo, and I had sent them information on complaints to the Ethics Commission where she's using her time and email to lobby on this subject for Hanneman, because they want, and the bottom line is, what's going on here, they tricked the public and Hanneman's willingness to say to the public, I'm going to put a park there. But what's really going on is that he wants his friend, relative, whatever it is, George Parrish, to, and the other people related to this effort at Miley Landfill Pacific Aggregate, they've attempted to have a landfill built there in the Waianae Coast. They. And here's, for example, they went before the land board, and they had a permit put in for the land board, right? And real quickly, like, just a few, this is, here's one person from the union, the Iron Workers Union, before. Mr. O'Donnell stated that he is a financial officer, treasurer of Iron Workers 625. He indicated that he strongly supported the construction and debris landfill because it will provide for much needed jobs in the area. Now, this area is in the Waianae Coast. Mm-hmm. Now, how is it that one day the union is saying we want to support this landfill in the Waianae Coast at Miley, and then on the other hand, embracing Mufi and his staff to build a park in an area because they don't want a landfill? Now, and the landfill is going to still be active, so you're going to take all these beautiful kids and put a park right across the street. Now, you've condemned the land and you've gotten a park built, but you still got an active landfill. You see, one of the things that troubles me is that there's this term called environmental racism, and there are inequities out there, and I'll talk to anyone for hours on it and show them. In this case, this is nothing to do, as they claim, environmental racism. This is self-inflicted, foolhardy decisions to follow someone that has tricking you into going down and getting involved and saying you want a park while not knowing that right up the road, trucks, there's another facility, and you're going to mix the trucks, the tractor-trailer trucks. They said 180 trucks that come in and out of there. Not from one facility, but other facilities that grind and crush and bring in contaminated soils and what have you in that area. But they want a park. Another Iron Workers Union went in and testified a while back for a landfill, the same landfill at Miley, not the one in Nanakuli. And it stated that Frank Hayashida stated that he was present with, he was represented, this thing is written, whoever wrote it was, he represented the Iron Workers 625 that represent 126 employers and 12,000 unionized employees. He stated that they strongly supported Spears' application and that the industry need more competition in the field of C&D landfills. The problem is, if they get the C&D landfill, Waimanalo Gulf closes, you're going to have a municipal solid waste landfill because it's already serving as one. So what they were trying to do through Mufi, and I've spoken to this many times on the show and earlier, was to ice out, placate the Nanakuli B site. And me personally, landfills anywhere is a problem for communities if they're managing properly. But the devil in the works is that you need a landfill until we really get down to recycling. But putting blue and green bins out is not a real viable recycling process unless you are really following through and recycling and reusing it. But anyway, this is what was going on with this. And now, they were gloating. They were happy. The newspaper wrote an article saying, talk about this, and quoted Patty Teruyan. Didn't have any other opposing side to speak specifically to ask the real question. And they had this information about the union wanting and supporting Miley Landfill, but then here over here they're wanting to shut down and prevent this landfill from opening. So this is what we will learn to expect, or should start to expect, when, if Hanneman gets in. And these are just minor. And then to have the head going back to this Pittsburgh, similar to Nanakuli, to have the head person, consultant for Bombardier, who wishes to provide and consult on the steel rail, to have him put together and sponsor your fundraiser? Now, the question is, he threw up his hand and says he's not going to take the money. But, and it was a gathering of friends. So I'll accept that. I think the spending committee commission should, in fact, accept his explanation that he's not going to take any money. It was just a gathering of friends. I'm all for that. I think that's an honorable thing. And in the same time, while they're accepting that as an explanation, indict him for using funds, because you can't use campaign funds to hang out with your friends and become acquainted, reacquainted with one another. You can't use it for personal use. So in his own words, he's already committed. So pick your poison.
Well, they say it, you know, maybe on the books, but just because, as you say, it just because it's there doesn't mean they're going to abide by it, you know. And the feeling that most of them have, you know, as far as these different rulings or regulations, if it doesn't serve me, it serves no purpose, you know. And that's the attitude that they have.
We got Kaylee.
Hey.
Yes. Good morning.
Yeah, I got a question. What's in it for all those guys, Nanakuli? I mean, Patty, you mentioned her name. What's in it for her politically?
Well, I mean, if she's able to block and fend and scratch and scrape for the mayor and be able to hide the goods when the feds come or anybody questioning, she'd probably become head gatekeeper of some sort, you know, bouncer or something that, you know, people don't do anything for free in these administrations. So I think that would probably be what is involved.
So what's in it for her neighbors doesn't matter at this point.
I don't think so. I would say that for me, I would fight with the neighbors in Hef in the Wai Anae area, and I think it's their prerogative to pick the fights and, you know, reject whatever they want to. But I surely wouldn't be led by someone who just earlier wanted a landfill in my community, and now all of a sudden they want to shut down one. So they're going to create a crisis. But there are some serious issues here with this whole matter involving Ms. Teruya.
What puzzles me is, isn't Miley and Nanakuli under her neighborhood board? And you're saying they're thinking about putting this this landfill, you know, this whole idea to get it out to the Miley side?
Well, I was reading...
How does she represent... You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense, this lady.
Well, I read from you their testimony in there that they gave to the Land Use Commission on June 3rd, 2004 for the wanting to create a landfill at Miley. And so they've already put ash up there, toxic ash. If she really wanted to do something, she should have been using Mufi's name and time to go and file a complaint with the EPA to have those folks prosecuted or have that ash cleaned out, and because there's arsenic is in the ash and it presents a problem. But that is some of the real issues that's facing. And the public's been duped.
I'll say.
Yep.
But,
by the leaders.
Yeah. If I make a comment, you know, it seems like...
I'll hang up.
Okay. All right, thank you. Bye.
It seems, you know, that most of us want to assume that our elected officials have some sort of conscience. And it doesn't make any difference with the political persuasion. We see how it is where, you know, once behind closed doors, you know, the back slapping and all these, you know, like, hey, you know, you got me on the floor this time, but, you know, blah, blah, and all that crap, all that stuff anyhow. But I'm beginning to really believe that, yeah, again, some of the people that are, you know, you would, again, assume that they're there in our interests. But when you start talking in political terms, you know, there's a lot of common sense solutions that are available that seem to be, you know, that go neglected because it's not backed by the unions or it's not backed by a certain specific group over here, then they don't want to deal with it, you know. And now, you know, damn the people. It's just, you know, we're just going to go ahead and we're going to push this agenda. You know, it helps me politically. And this is not an okay. I mean, we have some good elected officials out there that are trying to do something. But even those that I've seen that are trying to, you know, address certain issues, mm-hmm. again, they're not doing enough also. Because, again, you're asking the public to trust you. You know, when you ask for someone to vote, that's it. I'm going to go there. I'm going to uphold and look out for your interests, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, once they get in that rare air, it's like, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
the justification is, I can't do it now, but sooner or later, when I get to the point, then I'll make it happen. By that time, you're so embedded into the political environment that you become ineffective. You mm-hmm. definitely are part of the problem instead of part of the solution.
Well, in this Philadelphia thing, Hanneman failed to cover his tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking to the rail.
Yeah, with one newspaper over here, quite sure, you know, nobody's going to pick up.
And this morning, I see there's this article where Mufi is displayed with this long piece and speaking about Hanneman
mm-hmm.
and what he thinks about civil unions and this and that and that. And down in the bottom, in the corner, I don't know who pulled the gun to the editor's head this morning mm-hmm. and said, well, at least you got to put a little something in there about Neil Abercrombie and Duke Iona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, we'll do something. And down in the corner, they got two little pictures. And I'm thinking, what gives here? What are they selling us? Who they want us to have? And so the public can understand.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that there's this great thievery going on. What happens is that the city prints a lot of material,
mm-hmm.
and those are contracts, and it can be millions in pamphlets, papers, and so it's not just a story. So people say, well, why would the newspapers hold back? Why would the managers hold back on a story? Because they do not just an ad in the paper, but they do also printing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then there's the other element. Johnny Brannon left the newspaper and went to the city and worked. And Bill Brennan was in the media, so there's the other element of that they leave these papers. So are they really poised when they're writing an article?
Mm-hmm.
Not to do with management now. In the back of their mind, they're saying, well, I got a life here. I'm in paradise. Got my kids in school. If I do anything to disrupt this, then it won't be good. So I'm going to go and not write a stinging article. And that way, if a job or crises come in my life, I can become the spokesperson for the Department of Health.
Yeah.
Or, you know, public relations man for Mufi Hanneman, like
right.
Mr. Brennan.
Okay. And that's what you did, label yourself. The thing is, when you have those individuals who get out there and they, again, it's like what you do, and I hope to consider what I do,
mm-hmm.
is to be informational. Now, there's different segments of the media. You got your entertainment, and then you have, you know, your so-called real news, okay?
Right.
Now, I talk about myself because I love myself so much anyhow, mm-hmm. but the one thing is that when I come on or present anything, I try to provide information that's going to be useful to someone.
Right.
If I happen to be entertained and you think I'm funny or whatever it is in the meantime, that's another thing, okay? But that's not my goal. If I was going to call myself an entertainer, that's what I would say. I got, you know, I'll do, you know, music and song and dance and the whole nine yards. But I do not call myself an entertainer, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I call myself, you know, in quotes, you know, a media person. But I tell you, when these people misrepresent themselves, they're going to come on, okay, well, yeah, I'm the spokesperson or I'm the pitch man for the governor, the mayor, or whatever it is, then, okay, use that label. But don't call yourself a reporter, you know, if you're not.
Well, I'm disappointed now. I thought I'd bring you in today and I'd have you do a little tap dance.
Are you sorry now?
I'm thinking I could get you to do a little tap dance.
Maybe afterwards, though. Let me talk to my agent.
You know how we...
have your people call my people. We'll do people stuff.
Anyway, but going around in circles and talking about this thing with Hanneman, so there's a bigger issue for Mr. Hanneman.
Yeah.
Who spent all of this money for this gathering? He acknowledged that it's a fundraiser, but he won't accept the money. He has to account for everything, the expenditures that people paid. I wonder if he decided, he didn't bring any money, did he bring any receipts back?
Mm.
So, you know, that's what I expected from the news, to grill him and drill him and ask him, hey, well, these are the things. This is what the law says. Let's see you talk. That's what I want to see the advertiser. Put a pretty picture of his mug there and let him answer that. But instead, they told us about where he stands on civil unions and blah, 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 blah. And I had to pinch myself and say, wait, this is this a newspaper? Is this the, what is that, to People magazine?
Yeah, People magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe clarify something. I'm a little bit slow anyhow, but did he officially declare his candidacy?
Yes.
Is he supposed to resign as mayor, or did I miss something?
No, somebody figured that one out too for us.
Okay.
So.
I thought maybe I overslept or something and missed something along the line.
But anyway, this is going to hopefully... we hold his feet to the fire. But one little closing thing I want to share with the public there. Miss Patty Turia, for example, she writes an email, and she say that to someone, says, don't write me on my official email anymore because someone filed a complaint on me. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to take this moment, spend my money to say to Patty Turia today that you don't not receive emails from people on your official mail because someone filed a complaint. You don't do it because it's wrong. That's why you don't do it, right?
Right.
Foggy ideas. Anyway, Calvin, thank you for joining me. And again, your show right quick is...
Channel 54, 6 o'clock every Monday. This broadcast, Hawaii Baltimore TV program. And again, thank you very much, Ron.
Yeah, good seeing you again.
Pleasure as always.
All righty. This is the Carol Cox Show. And do join us. Go to carolcox.com, CARROLLCOX.com. And the videos are up there, and we'll be keeping you posted. If the newspapers don't do anything... I am going to be filing a formal complaint with the Campaign Spending Commission here, and we'll see where the justice and where the truth is in this day. But take care and aloha.
I take two. Okay.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.